Away.
By the way, all these little jokes is a Musa Haskell for me, so I'm very excited because clearly somewhere in the recesses of your mind, you think that I'm the guy that's going to provide that money, which is great for me, so I'm happy about it.
I'll tell you, the only thing that I know is that I have no idea where this money's coming from.
What do you know? Can I tell you something very quickly?
That's the only
Before
thing I
COVID,
know.
when COVID hit, a lot of my consulting clients said to me, I just feel like I have no idea what's coming. I have no idea where I totally, and we don't control anything. I feel totally like not know. I said, now all of a sudden, because of COVID, you feel this? Why didn't you feel this before COVID? Now you're just seeing the reality of life. Now COVID is making you feel like things are not in your control.
Yep. So that's quite right. When they made a whole budget for our shul, so if they would have budgeted, half a million, 1 million, fine, maybe we would have had some sort of plan. But once you get to, 10, 12, 15, 16, clearly it's completely out of your hands. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will miss us and help us.
Can I just give you? I'll give you a little chizuk. I heard a shiur from a pretty big rav during all my travels and all the challenges I've had in my life. He says, "Did you have eggs this morning for breakfast?" He said, "Yeah." He says, "Well, do you think that was a mirror, an ace from Hashem?" So he says, "If you don't think it was, it absolutely was an ace from Hashem." But here's the problem: you think that it's a little ace from Hashem for him to give you eggs. But if you need 15 million or 16 million to build your shul, that's a huge miracle, and therefore Hashem has to work harder. It's no difference to Hashem to provide you eggs in the morning and 16 million shekel. It's just his decision. It's only in your feeble mind do you think, well, yeah, eggs, I understand why Hashem gave me, but 16 million, that's asking too much. No, Hashem does, for Hashem, there's no difference.
Right. Okay.
Eggs, no, but now if Hashem were to give me pancakes, I'd be
Now
happy.
you're talking. Actually, Eliyahu David, we just signed our shul together with Refor Leitner is going to be our fundraising company.
Yes, I've been approached by him on other occasions.
Right. He does a good job, and
Do you know Elie Stefanski, Rebbe?
yes, I know of him. I don't know him personally. He's
He's
a
a
big
good
guy.
guy for you to I think he's a good guy for you to contact.
Yeah, but I don't have any contact with him. Actually, there's a guy in our shul who does. He's a big Dafayomi
Yeah, he's there. You should talk to the guy in your shul to reach out to him. Well, it can't hurt.
No, can't hurt. Yeah, but I don't want to take away your $16 million shekels
I'll
of
give it to you
shul.
regardless. We'll find ways to spend the money. Don't worry.
Okay, we're trying to expand the cradle as well, so we'll
There
take
you go.
16 for the building, 16 for the cradle. Fine. We're on the bottom line.
$5 million.
Okay. Tonu Rabbonon, after that brief introduction. Tonu
Where is that?
bottom line, Davovo Rabbonon, Kishem Shahadin Bishloisho, Kach Bitsua Bishloisho. Remember, we had a discussion yesterday, Bitsua, which means the halachas of a compromise. Does a compromise require a Beis Din, or is it basically some type of, we would call it a gentleman's agreement? Let's avoid a Beis Din and just come to an agreement. We'll go 50-50 or 60-40. For the moment, the Gemara is assuming that actually it needs to be adjudicated by a Beis Din. And not only that, a Beis Din of Shalosh. Says the Gemara on the top line, Nigmar Hadin I'ato rasho'i livtzoya. Now, these words are difficult to understand. Let's translate differently, literally, top line. Nigmar adin, once the din has finished, then iyat rashoi livtzoya. You're not allowed to then arrange a compromise. Now, simply translated, it sounds like the Beis Din have already come to their final conclusion. And they've already told Reuven that, listen, I'm sorry to tell you, you're the one who has lost out this court case, and you've got to pay Shimon $1,000. That is the Psak Din, to which the Gemara is now saying, cannot subsequently arrange a compromise.
Why does the Gemara have to tell us that? That's not a compromise. That's not following the din.
Right? That's a big kasha. That's why I'm pointing this out. That if you follow the Gemara's literal translation, it's very difficult to understand. I mean, obviously, once the Beis Din has paskened in the favor of one of the two sides, and that's it, finish, it's game over. Have a look at Rashi, top Rashi. Nigmar Adin, says Rashi, Sha'omru, that they said, the Dayanim said, Ish ploini certain person, whatever, Reuven, ato zakai, and ish ploini ato chayev. So they've clearly come to their psak and have said, right, Reuven, you're innocent. Shimon, you're chayev. So now we're a little bit stuck over here. Rashi is translating the Gemara literally. And the truth is, we understand why he's doing so, because it does say that in the Gemara. It does say, Nigmar Hadin. Nigmar Hadin definitely does sound like there's been an absolute psak din, which Rashi's translating means that they have announced, you are innocent and you are guilty. But as we pointed out before, if it really is literal, then it's not clear what is the Gemara being mechadish at all. Once there's been a psak din, then obviously the psak din of the Beis Din is final. You can't afterwards now say, well, actually, on second thoughts, we'll call for a compromise. It's too late. So have a look at Tosfos. Nigmar Hadin. Says Tosfos. Nigmar Hadin. We'll see. Tosfos translates not literally. Not literally. Although we'll see in a moment how he deals with the Gemara. Says Tosfos. Nigmar Adin Iatara Shoelivtsoya. Kagoin, what this means is Shekvar Diktaku Badin Heite. Ukamoi Gomruesadin. This is telling you that you've got to translate the Gemara non-literally. It does not mean a Gemara Din. Rather, as Tosis puts it, Shekvar diktaku badin, they have been medactic badin, meaning they have looked in the Gemara and they've looked in the Shulchan Aruch and they've discussed it, but they haven't actually officially announced the verdict. But if they've been medactic badin heitev, the very fact that they've looked into the din, well, kamoi gomru esadin, it's as if they've been goimer the din, although to be honest, they haven't. Deloy mechzer, because nothing is missing. What's left for them to do? Elo ish ploini ato chayev. The only thing they've got left to do is not to research the din. They've already researched the din. And even though they haven't officially announced their verdict, but okay, that's the only thing that's missing. So the last stage is the Bezin now have to formally declare ish ato chayev. Says Tosfos, even though they haven't actually done that particular step, but because that's the only last remaining step they could do, that's what the Gemara means, that you can't at this point call for a compromise. Why not? Says Tosfos, dekev and denisparer kolkach, because the situation has become clarified for them, meaning when the two people walked into Beis Din and each one has his taina, so things are not clear, could go either way. So at that stage, before you look into the subject and you delve into it, then I can understand. Maybe at that point you'd want to call for a compromise. But once they've been mevarer the din, so now it's true, we haven't officially, formally declared the verdict of the Beis Din, but the situation is absolutely clear. And the dayonim know full well in which direction the wind is blowing, as they say. And they know who's going to end up innocent and who's going to end up guilty. And therefore, says Tosfos, Ein lahat oisoi lasois psharon. So then it would be wrong to trick him into agreeing to a compromise. Why? Why does anybody agree ever to a compromise?
They're not sure if they're going to win.
Because I'm not sure if they're going to win. So listen, it's a gamble. I could win. So I'm taking a bit of a gamble by agreeing to a compromise, because when I agree to pay $500, in theory, maybe I would have won the case and I wouldn't have to pay anything, but it's a calculated risk. I'd rather pay 500 than taking the risk of having to pay 10,000 or 1,000. Therefore, if the dayanim
know... No, Rebbe, excuse me. That's not what would happen. I'd rather get 500 than lose, than not get anything.
Well, in both directions. Why does
the other guy wouldn't, that's not a problem. So of course I'd rather pay 500.
In both cases, a compromise has to be agreed by both parties. It's a calculated risk in two directions. I'm willing, the one says, to take $500. The other one says, I'm willing to pay $500. Why are you willing to pay $500? The answer is because I'm worried it might be worse. I might have to pay 1,000. Why are you willing only to take 500? Because I might get less. Fine. So we'll meet halfway in the middle. But had we known the truth, meaning the Dayanim behind closed doors have discussed the Shaila, and they're planning on declaring in a formal manner, Reuven is correct. And Reuven is going to get now $1,000. Now, Reuven doesn't know this yet because they haven't announced it. So for the Dayanim to emerge from their room and say to Reuven and Shimon, okay, fine, do you want to call for a compromise? And Reuven's thinking to himself, well, I don't know what they're going to say. Am I going to win the case? Am I going to lose the case? Fine, I'll agree to a compromise. I'll take 500. Well, that's extremely dishonest, because Reuven only agreed to take 500 because he didn't know which way it was going. But had they only told him that, to be perfectly honest, you're in the right, so why in a million years would I agree to a compromise? Says Tosfos, the kiven de nisbarer kolkach, because once the case has become clarified, the judges, the dayanim, the dayanim have been medactic in the din. So ein lahatoisa, you can't trick him now, lasos pshara, into doing a compromise. Why not? Sheil mole hoyo yoidea, because had he only known shenisbarer dinoy lezuchus, had he only known that actually the din has been clarified in his favor, loy hoyo misratze lepshara, he would never have agreed to a compromise b'shum inyan under any circumstances. So, how is Tosas learning the Gemara? The Loshna of the Gemara, first words on the Amud are, Nigmar Hadin. And literally translated, it sounds like that they've absolutely come to official, formal declaration and verdict. But Tosas has not translated it like that. Tosas says, actually, we're talking about one stage prior to that. They haven't announced the verdict, but they've actually come to a conclusion, but they haven't announced it. So at the moment, there's nothing legally or halachically binding because the psak of the Bezdin has not been declared. So in theory, you might have thought that you could still call for a compromise. Says Tosas, that's what the Gemara is teaching us, that no, you can't. It's dishonest. Because Reuven might well only agree to the compromise because he didn't realize that actually the din is supposed to go his way. Now, says Tosfos, why am I translating the Gemara non-literally? Says Tosfos, Upirish Bekuntras, it's true. Rashi explains otherwise, and this is a quote, Shekvar Omru, they have already announced Ish Ploiniato Zakai v'Ish Ploiniato Chayev, quote unquote. So Rashi explains differently to how I explain, said Tosfos. Rashi says, we're not talking about prior to the verdict, we're talking about after the verdict. Says Tosas, it's true, v'loshoin hashas muchach kein bevadai. It's true, the loshon of the Gemara clearly indicates like Rashi, because after all, what is the loshon of the Gemara? Nigmar hadin. Nigmar hadin, to be perfectly honest, does sound like Rashi's translation. Says Tosfos, but I'm sorry to tell you, it doesn't make sense. Why? Avol kosher. My bitzua shayech. What on earth is a compromise possible? Bichlal hashta achar shenifsa kadin legamri. Once the din has been paskened, how on earth can there be a compromise, bichlal? What's the Gemara telling you that don't anymore make a compromise? What do you mean? Obviously, there's been a psak din, and it's finished. It's all over. So even though, says Tosas, I have to admit that the loshon of the Gemara does seem to indicate that Rashi's translation is correct, because it does, after all, say nigmar hadin, which always means there's been a verdict. Says Tosas, but how can you possibly translate literally? If there's really been a verdict, I do not need any Gemara to tell me, don't make a compromise. So Tosfos says, ubedoichek yesh loima. Maybe we could say a doichek, meaning a bit of a far-fetched teretz. In other words, we're trying to answer up Rashi. Rashi has translated the Gemara literally, which is his prerogative to do, because the Gemara does say nigmar hadin, but in logic, it's very, very hard to understand. What's the case? Well, there's been a Gemara Din, and now I need a Gemara to tell me don't make a compromise? Well, obviously, there's been a Psak Bez Din, that's binding, that's final, it's all over. Says Tosas, maybe you could suggest the following, although Tosas admits it's a Deichik. Ube Deichik yesh loima, shelo yitu oisoi loimar loi. Don't even tell him following the Psardik. Your psakdim, your reim, onu, we are afraid, shema to'inu bedin, that maybe we made a mistake in our judgment. So even though there has been a final psak, but maybe you'd want to call for a compromise, because even though we think that this is the correct psak, but maybe we made a mistake. Says Tosas, it's a doichuk, but maybe that's how Rashi's learning the Gemara. Meaning, in a regular case where there's been a clear-cut verdict, then it's the most obvious thing in the world. I don't need any Gemara to teach me that you can't now call for a compromise. It's too late. But in the case, as Tosas, which he calls a doichuk, that albeit the Dayanim have come to a final verdict and they've announced their psak, but they are concerned, maybe they've made a mistake in din. So I would have thought that in that case, maybe you still can call for a compromise. Kamash malah. No, in that case, you also can't. But at least it makes sense. Although Tosas calls it a deichuk.
You know, this lends me to the whole conversation of dine dayanim mumchem versus non-mumchem. Because at the bottom of this whole thing is the Beis Din's ability to give confidence that they're qualified. Because at the end of the day, if Beis Din leaves you with the impression, listen, we have a psak here, but we don't know if it's going to hold, it leaves you uncomfortable. So you have to say, maybe I should compromise. Right. So the same thing from the outset, l'chatchila, if you think that the dayanim are not mumchim, from the very beginning, you're like, I don't even know if I should go to Beis Din, because at the end of the day, maybe it's not even going to hold. Maybe it's just best to compromise. That's why it's very, very questionable whether mumchim or not mumchim.
Yeah. I'll call Ponegoifim. So we're going to leave this Tosas. The next two lines is dealing with something else with the Gabba Shvua. But I'll call Ponegoifim. We have a Machloikas, Rashi, and Tosas, how to learn this Gemara. Rashi seems to be learning the Gemara Kipshutai that we're discussing after the Gemara Din, which, as Tosas points out, is very, very troubling to learn, because what's the Chiddush at all? Tosas says, no, it's Kamoi Gemara Din, but it doesn't literally mean Gemara Din. It's the stage prior to that, i.e., they have come to a conclusion, they've researched the topic well, but they haven't officially, formally declared the final verdict, the Machlokas, Rashi, and Tosas. Okay. We now continue the Gemara. We can go quite quickly because the Gemara is not difficult. The Gemara says some strange words, Saramash Bankash, Simon. See that on the top line? Saramash Bankash. Sometimes when the Gemara brings a whole bunch of halachas, one after another, then it gives you a simon, like a remez, how to remember them. So Saramash is Samach, Reish, Mem, Shin. Each letter is a reference to one of the halachas about to be mentioned. It is said in the name of the Chasam Sofer that if you finish a Masechta and you want to make a Siyam, you cannot make a Siyam unless you even read the words when the Gemara says simon. In other words, Saramash Bankash is part of the Gemara, and we have to read those words in order to say that we've really completed the Masechta. Okay. Rabbi Elazar Benoi Sharab Yosi Aglili Oimer Osur Livtzoya. What does that mean, Osur Livtzoya? Again, simply translated, it's also to make a compromise. When, what, who, where? So look at Rashi. Also, Lipsoya. So Rashi learns Mishabo'u Ladin. Rashi says, once they have arrived at the Beis Din, at that stage, Osur LeDayonim Lipsoya. It's also for the Dayonim to call for a compromise. We're not saying if they call for a compromise, it's not valid. But Rashi is learning that what does Rabbi Elazar mean when he says it's Osur Livtzoya? From that moment from which they turn up in Beis Din, the Beis Din at this point have to say, fine, you have come to a Beis Din for a psak, we're going to give you a psak. If you want to compromise and you needn't have come to Beis Din at all, later on we'll see there is an opposing opinion. Not only that, says the Gemara, in the name of Rabbi Loza, v'chol ha-boitzeya, very, very sharp loshen, harizeh choyte. If you call for a compromise once they have turned up in Beis Din, you're considered to be a sinner. V'chol ha-mavorech es ha-boitzeya, and if you bless, if you compliment, you praise the one who called for a compromise, Hare ze menaitz. How does Art Scroll translate menaitz?
Blasphemer.
You have what, sorry?
Blasphemer.
You consider a blasphemer.
Blaspheme.
Unbelievable. It's so severe to call for a compromise once they've arrived in Beis Din, it's considered blasphemy. Valzeh ne'emar boitzeya beirech nietz Hashem. But if you're mavorech a boitzeya,
sorry? Isn't there somewhere in Shah in Chumash where menaitz is really like you're angering at Kadosh Baruch Hu? Or am I misunderstanding?
I don't know. I don't recall it offhand. Here we're using menaitz mean blaspheming. Specifically, with a person who caused, who praised a compromise. Valze nema boitzea bireich nietz Hashem elo yokoiv hadin esahar. Now here I'm very, very curious. How do Art Scroll translate these words, Rabbi Yosef? Yokuv hadin esahar.
Let justice pierce the mountain.
Let justice pierce the mountain. Meaning, we'll move the world to get to tzedek u'mishpot, but not just cop-out compromise. Shenemar, as it is written in the pasuk, this is the pasuk in Pashas Devarim, ki ha-mishpot le'loikim hu. Mishpot is le'loikim, that is the correct way to go. V'chein Moshe hoya oimer, and that's what Moshe Rabbeinu used to do. Yokuv hadin eshahar. Moshe Rabbeinu used to say, let the din pierce the mountain. And that was Moshe Rabbeinu's tafkid. As the leader of Klal Yisrael, as the Rebbe of Klal Yisrael, his job was not to call for compromise. However, Aval Aaron was different. Aaron was the Oyev Shalom, the Roidev Shalom, Umesim Shalom Ben Odom Lechaveroi. He was allowed to call for a compromise. Why? Look at Rashi. Aval Aaron was the Oyev Shalom, the Roidev Shalom, the Kivan Shahoya Shemea Machloikas Beineim. Aaron HaKohen used to hear about the argument between them. Koidem Shiovoyu Lefonov Ledin. Long before they ever turned up in Beis Din. Hoya Roidev Acharein. So he'd run after them. Umatil Shalom Beineim. He'd bring about peace. Instead of bringing them to Beis Din, as we spoke about yesterday, the story with our good friend Reb Shimshi Weiss, instead of coming to Beis Din and yelling and screaming each other, Aaron HaKohen heard that there was a halachic dispute, so he straightway was ready for Achareyan to bring them together. Let's call for a compromise, let's call for Shalom. So just before we carry, let's just quickly see a pasuk and then we'll explain. Says the Gemara, Shenema, Toiras emes hoysa befiu, va'avlov loy nimtza besfosov, v'sholoim u'bemeshar, holach iti rabim heishiv me'ovim. So now, the Gemara is telling you the way Rashi is learning that there's not really any machlokes between Moshe and Aaron. Why was it that Moshe Rabbeinu said Yaakov hadin esahor, and Aaron HaKohen, as opposed to that, was Oyev Shalom v'Roidev Shalom? So the way that Rashi's learning is, there's no machlokes. It's just that Moshe Rabbeinu was the Rebbe of Klal Yisrael. Where did he sit? He sat paskening shailas all day, as we know from Parashas Yisro. So by the time he heard about this machloikas, they've already come to din. And if they've already come to din, as we said before, then it's too late. You can't call for compromise. Whereas Aaron HaKohen was not a dayan. Aaron HaKohen did not sit paskening shailas. He was Oyev Shalom v'Roidev Shalom. See, if he would hear through the grapevine that there's a machloikas between Reuben and Shimon, so long before they ever arrived at Moshe Rabbeinu's doorstep to pasken the shaila, he used to bring Shalom between them and call for a compromise, which means there's not a machlokes between Aaron and Moshe, it's just that Aaron got in earlier. And if you get in earlier before the point that they've turned up at din, then it's not too late. You're still allowed to call for compromise.
But you know the thing that if someone's chayav misa, but they, for some reason, Beis Din couldn't come to it or whatever, but you find out that Hashem makes the guy die anyhow, he falls off a ladder.
Yeah.
So maybe the whole point is, in Ashkacha Pratis, Hashem, if Hashem decides that it has to go to Beis Din, so you become stubborn, you don't want to compromise. And so first Aaron tries, he says, let me see if I can get a compromise. But if Hashem decides, no, there's no compromise here, I want him to go to Beis Din. So therefore he pushes the person to go to Beis Din. So Moshe says, once Hashem has decided this guy should come to Beis Din, my job is to be a dayan.
Too late. Have a look at Tosfos. Tosfos says, Avol Aharon Pirish, Kevin Shaloi Hoyo Dayon, because Aaron HaKohen was not a dayan, it wasn't his function. Veloi Hoyo had din bo lefonov, and the din never came in front of him for judgment. Elo lifnei Moshe. Rather, it came to Moshe. Therefore, vaday ledidei, for him, shari will be permitted. In other words, once again, Tosis is pointing out, don't make the mistake of thinking that there's some sort of difference in mahalach and machloikas between Moshe and Aaron. No. Aaron was not a dayan, he didn't sit on the Beis Din, and therefore any shaila he would hear about was long before it reached Moshe. At that point, you're still allowed to call for compromise. Says the Gemara, Rebbe Elazar Omer, Hare shegozal so'o shel chitim. What happens if somebody stole a whole measure of chitim of wheat?
Yeah.
The tochno, and he ground it, offer, and he baked it. Vehir frish v'meno chala, and he took chala. Everything is wonderful. Everything is marvelous, except it's stolen property. It's stolen chitim. Is ketzad mevorech? How is he going to make a bracha on this? He's now ground it, baked it, taken chala, he's made it into bread. With what? With stolen chitim. Does he now make a bracha moitzi lech min haaretz? Says the Gemara, Ein ze mevorech. He doesn't make a bracha. Elo, mena'itz. It would be considered blasphemy. Va'al ze ne'ma u'boitzea beirech ni'etz Hashem. That's why the Gemara is bringing this halacha over here, because even though it's nothing to do with the halacha we just mentioned, but it's a totally different understanding of the pasuk that we did mention. The first understanding of a boitzea Beirech, Boitzea from Biloshen, Bitsua, compromise. Now we're saying Boitzea, like we talk about being Boitzea on Lechem, to cut bread. If you make a bracha on stolen property, that's considered blasphemy. Now, we have to understand this Gemara. There is a machloikas, harishonim. Do you translate the Gemara literally or not literally? If somebody stole bread, does he make a bracha? By extension, what would be if you ate something which was forbidden to eat? You ate macholos asuris. You know full well it's asur to have a cheeseburger, and you say, I don't care, I'm having it anyway. It's not pikuach nefesh. I'm going to have it anyway. Do you make a bracha? Now, it sounds like a strange shaila. What do you mean? If you ask the Rav, do you make a bracha? He'll tell you, what do you mean? You're not supposed to be eating it in the first place. And he'll say, I know, but I'm eating it anyway. I've got a different shaila. Do you make a bracha? So this is a big machloikas rishonim between the Rambam and the Ravid. The Rambam maintains that if you eat ma'acholos asurois, you do not make a bracha. Why? Because the whole concept of making a bracha is to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm so grateful to Hashem for providing me with this food, but that's the greatest bizoyin to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for something that he doesn't want you to eat in the first place. That's not thanking Hashem, that's not praising Hashem, that's blasphemy. You're mocking HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
I've read stories about someone who was, for example, diabetic or something, and he was in an emergency, he had to tuck into a treif restaurant and just eat something.
One second. We'll get to that in a moment. That's different because that's a pikuach nefesh situation. One moment. So for the moment, we're talking about somebody who's a rasha. It's not pikuach nefesh. This is stolen property, or it's forbidden to eat because it's nevela or chazir. The Gemara seems to be saying ein ze mevarech. That's what the Rambam paskins. Others disagree. Others say, no, of course he's mechuyev to make a bracha. When the Gemara says, ein zeh mevarech, it doesn't mean that he doesn't have to make a bracha, but it's not considered a worthy bracha. But he has to make it, because you're not allowed to eat without making a bracha. Big machlokes. Now, that's all talking about when you ate it under forbidden circumstances. But if you ate it in permissible circumstances, meaning, for example, it was pikuach nefesh, or, for example, somebody is eating on Yom Kippur, beheta, because he's dying, then the Shulchan Aruch paskins, you do make a bracha.
And what about stolen money that buys food? Can you make a bracha on that money? On that food?
So that, I don't know. That may well be the same achleikas. So again, the literal translation of the Gemara is Ein Zeh Mevarech. So it sounds like he doesn't make a bracha. That's what the Rambam indeed paskins. But the Ravid disagrees. Halacha lemaisa, as mentioned, we do not make a bracha on macholis asuris. This is obviously, hopefully, not negir halacha lemaisa, because one doesn't eat macholis asuris. But in the event that one does have to, because it's a pikuach nefesh situation, or it's Yom Kippur, for example, then halacha lemaisa, one does make a bracha. Okay, we'll hold it over here, and Be'ez Hashem, we'll continue next time. In the meantime, everyone should be well and healthy.
Thanks.
Hey. Shukran. Shukran.